You're listening to Tech Thursday on West Limerick 102 FM.
Hello there and you're very welcome to Tech Thursday. This is Patrick Sheehan. I'm going to be with you for the next hour or so looking at all the latest in tech. As always, if you have any questions, you can send them to 069-66200 or you can text or WhatsApp 0871-66900 and patrick102fm@gmail.com is the email. So any tech-related questions, you can send them in and I'll answer them on the next show. So as always, we're going to look through and react to some of the latest in tech news. I suppose one of the biggest stories on social media since yesterday is definitely the iPad Pro. So a new iPad Pro is coming out and Apple released a new ad with it. They released it on their social medias and everything like that. And what the ad was, you know, those YouTube videos where they have those industrial compression machines, you know, those the steel machines where they put different items like a banana or something, and then they crush it with this industrial press. So they got one of those, but on a massive, massive scale one. And they put like a piano, and they put cans of spray paint, and they put other musical instruments, guitars, and different types of clocks and pressure gauges and all different things. In other words, things that the new iPad can do. And they crushed it on this giant machine, and all the instruments got crushed, and all the different piano and everything got crushed. And then it opened up again, and there was the new iPad Pro lying on it, this skinny new tablet, to say that they were able to crush all these things into one thing. But it has got a very, very bad reaction, because it just, I get it. I kind of had the same, as like, it's destroying all these beautiful musical instruments and things that help people's creativity and everything over the years. And, you know, as in it's replacing all of these things, but it's just a supplement to these things. And people are saying, why would you do that? You know, what they should have done is the kind of the exact opposite of what most people are saying. It just looks really bad. It's like crushing everything. It's crushing industry and crushing creativity and just putting it all into this kind of generic looking device, this slab, you know, and all the beauty and creativity of the actual hardware itself, of guitars and violins and pianos and all that, is all being done away with for this generic device. So it kind of backfired on them a bit. And people were saying they should have done the opposite. They should have had the iPad there on the table, the skinny iPad, and all of a sudden, through the magic of CGI, a piano comes out of the iPad and a guitar comes out of it and paintbrushes and a typewriter and all the different things it can do suddenly starts coming out of it. So it can create magic itself or something like that. Would have looked a lot better than crushing, you know, than crushing people's creativity and everything like that. I know their intention, but it just looks really bad. It's destroying, and they literally did have to destroy these things, you know, for the video. So yeah, people reacted really bad to it. But as a device itself, it's getting amazing reviews. People are worried because it's so skinny. It's their thinnest. They had an iPad Air before that was designed to be skinny. And this iPad Pro is even skinnier than that. It's the thinnest tablet they've ever made. And but it has the really powerful, like a laptop chip in it and everything like that. So it's actually getting good reviews so far. But just the advertising campaign hasn't been the best. The iPad Pro is sleeker and smart, but I have an article here on CNET about it. Sleeker and smarter, but it's still more of a tablet than a computer replacement. The Pencil Pro, though, is a welcome new feature. So they have a new pencil that's supposed to be very advanced as well to go with it. There's buttons and stuff, and it does different things, more advanced than previous ones they had. We got zero new iPads from Apple last year, but now we have four new iPads all at once. The latest iPad Pro and iPad Air models are here. I've spent some time with them, with all of them. I haven't, unfortunately, but the writer of this article from CNET did. In New York, I got an early preview of the iPads, and I really appreciate their hardware. I was impressed by the totally new gyroscope-equipped vibrating Pencil Pro accessory. Even though Apple's new iPads are lovely, fancy, and expensive, I can't say they're any closer to being your Mac. In other words, it's not going to replace the laptop or the PC. That's because, well, Apple doesn't want them to be. The iPad Pro is, by all measures, a superior piece of hardware. It's very likely the device I'd choose to be my future Mac, but it's not a Mac yet. It's an iPad. And even though iOS and macOS are getting closer every year, they're still quite different. We're only a month away from the Worldwide Developers Conference, where Apple will announce new versions of every OS, including iPad OS. It could be that Apple reveals plans to transform iPads even further and maybe fuse them with Macs as we know them. Then I wouldn't count on it. So if you've been thinking about getting yourself a nice iPad and you have needs that include graphic arts, sketching, or photo work, or photo or video work, the new models look great, but they'll cost you. Even though the entry-level iPad Air starts at $599 with 128 gig of storage, the top-end iPad Pro starts at $1,299. And then there's the nice new Pencil for $129 and the new Magic Keyboard, which is compatible only with the Pro models. The new aluminium design and haptic trackpad for £349. The keyboard is at £349, the Magic Keyboard. That's crazy. Plus any extra storage you might want to tack on. The Pro model has 256 gig of storage to start, and you can ramp it up to 2 terabytes. Imagine if you want the Pro model with the Magic Keyboard, with 2 terabytes of storage, and with the Pencil, you're over $2,000. And this is saying, you know, the prices here that I was saying was like, say, $1,299 is the starting price for the Pro. In dollars, it's 1,299 sterling in the UK. So that probably means it's, you know, 1,400 here. If it's £1,300 sterling and it's $1,300, it's probably €1,400 for us to buy. Quite possibly, because usually the dollar price would be higher than the UK pound price because of the exchange rate, but it doesn't seem to be. They just seem to be cheaper products in the US. So that could mean that we'll get the direct translation of the UK price, which would be even higher again. So it's crazy, crazy prices. Pencil Pro has useful haptic vibration, in-hand rotation. So the Pencil seems to be quite advanced. The new Pencil Pro looks exactly like the previous Pencil 2, but adds new features on board for the same $129 price. You can squeeze the Pencil now to bring up pop-up menus on the iPad screen with haptic vibrations that give a little click response. That's a nice touch. But the more useful part for me was an embedded gyroscope that allows the Pencil for Pencil rotations in hand. The Pencil can rotate brush tools on the fly now, which feels in hand more like using an actual brush. Thanks to the over iPad display hover feature introduced in the 2022 iPad Pro, the Pencil previews brush tool in advance, and then you can rotate the Pencil to adjust the brush position as needed before pressing down. So that's very advanced, you know, where you can, I see it, there's a little video of it here, and people coloring and creating graphic art and things like that, and rotating the Pencil around and squeezing it to do different effects and things like that. So it's quite cool, actually, what you can do as an artist with it. The new iPad Pro model seems similar at a distance from the iPad Air or even previous iPad Pro models. It's a big display with metal bezels, and honestly, all iPads have nice displays. Getting closer reveals some differences. Apple's made these Pro models even thinner than before. While you may ask, it isn't really needed. In theory, if you live with a Magic Keyboard attached, you might feel differently. It's the whole Magic Keyboard on iPad setup that the new Pro seems fine-tuned for. Since the new aluminium interior keyboard case and iPad Pro together now make for a thinner, lighter package overall. How thin and light? My demos were brief, but it seemed like it would fit a bit better in a backpack. Like, yeah, I suppose, you know, I know you, years ago we had big thick laptops and the first tablets were big thick and heavy and everything like that. But nowadays, like, there's like half a millimeter or a millimeter thinner. And really, like, if the previous one, is there anything that wouldn't fit into, and now the new one will all of a sudden, or somebody, oh, I couldn't carry around the previous one because it was a little bit, a half a millimeter too thick, or a half an ounce too heavy, and now the new one is a tiny bit thinner and a tiny bit lighter, and now I can carry it around. And I don't know. There's just so minuscule, but I suppose that's how things work. If that's looking at a very short term picture, but if you look over 10 years and then you look at the difference between them, so that's, I suppose that's how improvements happen. But when you look at it, like, I had the last one, why would I want the new one? On scale alone, you know, on weight and size alone, you'd be like, why would I bother? But the new Pros have the new M4 chips inside, which are a whole new chip. Apple announced just a year and a half after the M3 debuted in Halloween. The M4 sounds very closely aligned with the M3. From its 3-nanometer architecture and its cores and GPUs, Apple has indicated that the M4 has better thermal design for thin devices like this iPad, and also a new design to work with the upgraded OLED display. How much faster it is unclear, since all of Apple's comparisons were stated in terms of the M2 and not the M3. We'll know sometime soon, though. It's very funny. Apple just doesn't release the figures and stats and things like that. People have to go testing them. So, but that's the new Apple iPad Air and iPad Pro. The entry-level one seems... I suppose, like, you can buy a lot of tablets now for, like, starting off that are fairly decent, you know, are workable for, like, 150, 200 quid. So when their cheapest one is starting off at, like, over 400-500 quid... it does seem expensive as well when you'd be getting their lowest specs and things like that. Compression-mounted laptop RAM is fast, efficient, and upgradable. So there's a new type of laptop RAM. It's LPC-AMM2 memory. Just made its debut in a Lenovo ThinkPad P1, and it's far easier to replace. The first laptop with this memory is finally here. The folks at iFixit got their hands on the Lenovo ThinkPad P1, which uses LPDDR5X memory in an LPC-AMM2 module that you can upgrade or replace by simply unscrewing from the laptop's motherboard. That's a major change from existing LPDDR memory in most modern laptops. This type of memory is typically soldered onto the motherboard, making it much more difficult to upgrade. So in other words, they've gone backwards, because I've a couple of laptops at home, old ones, with RAM that you just pull the two sliders out and it pops out and you put in new sticks of RAM. But obviously they started soldering them in, but now they're back to having removable RAM, which is good. So what do all the letters stand for? Low Power Compression Attached Memory Module offers modularity without losing the power efficiency of LPDDR. So there's a picture here with a slider you move across. So it just kind of slides into place and then you screw it down with two screws. Traditional DDR RAM uses SODIMM sticks that slot into the motherboard, much like on desktop PCs, as pointed out by iFixit. LPDDR is much more power efficient. The DDR RAMs is the one I'm using. So they started soldering other ones in, but the new ones have the advantages of both. They're modular, plus they have the efficiency of the ones that were soldered in, so that's good. As pointed out by iFixit, LPDDR is much more power efficient, but it needs to be soldered directly to the motherboard, as close to the processor as possible. Up until now, manufacturers have had to choose between upgradable RAM and power efficient RAM. So LPC-AMM2 attempts to split the difference by cozying up to the motherboard with screws rather than with solder. And unlike SODIMM sticks, each LPC-AMM2 module is dual channel, so you only need one, not two. So that's good. As shown in the hands on video posted by iFixit, you can replace the LPC AMM2 in Lenovo's new ThinkPad P1 by removing the laptop's backing and then taking out the battery. From there, you can take out the RAM by removing three Phillips head screws. So that's good. So it's back to, we're back to removable RAM again. To be honest with you, I didn't even know that they were more efficient. It was more efficient to solder them in. I just thought they were doing it because they didn't want you upgrading. You know, they're just like, you know, take what you get kind of thing, like what Apple does with a lot of their devices, is that you can't upgrade a lot of the internal parts like you can with some PCs. So I thought that's what that was, that they were, they just wanted, like the removable batteries from phones, that they started sealing up the batteries and that you can't change them if the battery goes. A lot of the times people just buy new phones now instead of trying to get the batteries changed out. Where before with your Nokia 3310, you could just go in and buy a new battery and swap it out, and it was back up and running again. And it had half a week's power in one charge, back in the good old days. But yeah, that's good that they have a new RAM that doesn't lose efficiency but is still upgradable and things. So that's very good. Apple's iPad event, all the news from Apple. So we kind of had that already. The M4 chips. Apple quietly kills old school iPad and its headphone jack. Hands on with the new iPad Pro. It's really thin. Seven biggest announcements. So this is just some of the things on The Verge. New M4 chip is focusing on AI. They announced new iPad Pros with OLED displays and thinnest design. Yeah, so we discussed a lot of this. Apple adds a 13-inch iPad Air to the mix also as well. And the Let Loose event. So you can look it up. People sure are pressed about Apple's crushing iPad commercial. So that's a bit, yeah, we talked a bit about that. The commercial for the iPad Pro is impeccable in the commercial, a hydraulic press, kind of like that crushes Skittles all day on TikTok. Slowly descends into the whole amalgamation of artistic endeavors as a large metal plate drops like Tesla stock in 2024. It crushes musical instruments and destroys classical sculptures. Tubes of paint pop like balloons, sending a cascade of color across Apple's carefully constructed canvas of stuff. Finally, it accomplishes its job. This gathering of creations is meant to represent the whole history of human creativity, laid flat by the unstoppable force of Apple's hydraulic press. I don't think that's what they meant. And then the press slowly rises and all that artsy mess disappears, and what is left behind is Apple's new beautifully sleek. So they're kind of trying to give it a positive slant, but online it's 90% negative. I saw some Japanese people that are artists and things like that, and they are not happy about it. It's very handy, actually, you know, the automatic translate and things like that on Twitter, or on X as it's called now. So you can see all different people around the world and everything like that. So it's very cool. But I was reading some of their tweets about it, and they're like, I used to like Apple. I don't like Apple anymore after what they did. And a lot of people take art and music and things very, very seriously. And instruments are things that are to be kind of treasured and respected and everything like that. And it's very, very disrespectful. Crushing musical instruments and crushing things for creating art and things like that. It's kind of very, very disrespectful for a lot of artists and things like that. A Disney, Hulu and Max streaming bundle is on the way. A bundle offering access to Game of Thrones, Star Wars and The Bear arrives this summer. Is this streaming or cable TV? Although, in a way, it's good, though, because there are so many at the moment, it's ridiculous, as long as it doesn't work out more expensive. Now it's coming to the US, so it mightn't be coming here, but it isn't a bad idea. Disney reveals that Disney Plus and Hulu posted a profit of $47 million for the first time. How much have they, I'm just seeing how much they're going to be charging for it. It doesn't say, but they're going to be going together in the US, so you can get them all in one kind of thing. But we don't have them here. But some of the shows just have gone to the likes of Sky TV and things like that, Game of Thrones and all those. So for the ones we don't have, but yeah, it's things just go full circle, isn't it? They're all going to amalgamate now and turn it back into cable TV. China's Chang 6 moon probe has a mysterious guest on board. China's lunar lander, bound for the far side of the moon to collect samples, seems to have a little baby rover attached. China's Chang 6 lunar probe mission is bound for the far side of the moon, and there seems to be a small rover affixed to the side of the lander, as seen in new images released by China's Academy of Space Technology. China's National Space Administration announced today that the probe, which launched last week, has successfully entered the moon's orbit, a big step towards landing the spacecraft early next month. There's a little... They zoomed in, there's a zoomed in picture, and it shows a little tiny little vehicle attached to the side of it with little white wheels. So that could be dropping off of the probe and going down for a drive around on the surface of the moon. But as space.com reports, people have noticed the CAST published images show a mysterious mini rover, one that seems too small for a long-term mission. The Shanghai Institute of Ceramics hints on its website that there might be an infrared imaging spectrometer on board that could be used to detect water in soil and rocks, as explained by Space News. China disclosed little on the Chang 6's objectives. It's known where it will land and that there's a goal to bring back samples to Earth, similar to China's collection of near-side samples on Chang'e-6's mission in 2020. It's also carrying payloads from France, Sweden and Italy, as well as a Pakistani CubeSat. This isn't the first time China has sent a surprise device to space. During China's Tianwen-1 mission to Mars in 2021, the CNSA Shadow dropped a camera that took a selfie of the Zhurong rover. So they sent an extra camera that could look back and take a picture of their rover and send it back. So that's pretty cool. A British girl's hearing was restored in a pioneering gene therapy trial. Opal's mum says she was gobsmacked when she realised her daughter could hear without her cochlear implant. The experts say the results are better than they expected. A British girl had her hearing restored after becoming the first person worldwide to take part in a pioneering new gene therapy trial. Opal Sandy was born totally deaf due to auditory neuropathy, which disrupts nerve impulses from the inner ear to the brain. But the 18-month-old's hearing is now almost normal and could improve further after having the one-time treatment. It seems like a miracle kind of thing, isn't it? A one-time treatment, and it kind of is helping to restore her hearing. Absolutely amazing. Opal was treated at Addenbrooke's Hospital in Cambridge, and the head of the trial, Professor Manohar Bance, said results were better than they hoped or expected, and he hopes medics might be able to cure others with this type of deafness. We have results from Opal which are very spectacular, so close to normal hearing restoration, so we do hope it could be a potential cure, he said. Auditory neuropathy can be caused by a fault in the OTOF gene, which makes a protein called otoferrin and enables cells in the ear to communicate with the hearing nerve. Opal from Oxfordshire had an infusion of the working gene inserted into her ear during surgery in September. The treatment developed by biotech firm Regeneron. And Regeneron is in Limerick, aren't they? They have a place in Limerick, so it's amazing. Her parents noticed changes in only 4 weeks, and the improvements were especially noticeable in 24 weeks. Joe and James Sandy, both 33, said they are gobsmacked when she responded to sound tests at home without her cochlear implant, the usual way to treat the condition. I thought it was a fluke or like a change in light or something that had caught her eye, but I repeated it a few times. They say she now enjoys the sound of slamming her cutlery on the table and playing with toy drums and wooden blocks. We were told she had near normal hearing last time. She added, I think they got responses at sort of 25 to 30 decibels. I think normal hearing is classed at 20 decibels, so she's not far off. Before she had no hearing whatsoever. Opal surgery was very similar to fitting a cochlear implant, according to Professor Bance. He said the inner ear was opened and the treatment infusing a catheter over 16 minutes. We made a release hole in another part of the ear to let the treatment out because it has to go all the way through the ear, he said. And we just repair and close up. So it's actually a very similar approach to a cochlear implant, except we don't put the implant in. Absolutely amazing what they can come up with nowadays. So hopefully that can help thousands and tens of thousands more. Sperm whale phonetic alphabet discovered. Scientists believe artificial intelligence will one day help them to communicate with whales in the same way. If successful, it would be the first time that humans have spoken with other species. Scientists using artificial intelligence to decode the sounds made by sperm whales believe their calls are so complex that they are similar to human language. New research by a group of experts studying a clan of whales in the East Caribbean found that they use a Morse code of clicks, with the rhythm and tempo added extra layers of complexity to convey meaning. The calls are so rich in information that they are likely to help pods make group decisions and coordinate joint tasks, such as foraging for food and rearing young, according to scientists in the long-term study called Project SETI. Dr. David Gruber, founder and lead of the Project SETI, says this discovery makes a profound moment in advancing our understanding of sperm whales. It opens up the possibility that sperm whales have an incredibly complex and nuanced communication system, and it inspires us to continue on our whale listening journey. Research by the team has previously shown that whales signal their clan identity with two evenly spaced clicks, followed by three in quick succession. So that's absolutely amazing what they can do. Absolutely amazing. Nintendo teases announcement on Switch successor. A long-awaited successor to the popular Switch console is in the works, but the gaming giant won't reveal exactly when it will be released. Instead, Nintendo has said when fans can expect to find out. Nintendo has teased gamers over the Switch's successor release date, but fans may have to wait more than a year before trying the new console out. The Japanese gaming giant Switch console, which can be played on a portable handset or on a TV, was first released in 2017. Speculation has grown in recent months over the release date for the console's next generation, which is believed to be called the Switch 2. It's amazing. I've never played the Nintendo Switch. It's been out for so long, and there's the OLED version, and there's the kind of cheaper version that with the handsets attached, and I've never tried any of them. I've never played it. I've seen other people playing them, and a friend of mine had one, but no relation of mine never had one. I never had one myself, but I'd love to have tried one. I never was interested because it was a couple of years out when I kind of got interested, or when I was like, oh, they're nice, but they've been out now a couple of years, and if I go get one, it could be replaced kind of thing. So I never getting one. It's like the PS5. If I didn't get it when it came out straight away, I wouldn't have ever bothered. Even though it's kind of different than with a phone, you know, it's not like buying a phone where it's going to be replaced 6 to 12 months later. But still, no, I never did. But maybe it might be a good, when the new model comes out, I might get one of the old models. It might be a good second-hand bargain. They might come down in price. Its financial results published on Tuesday, the Kyoto-based company said it will make an announcement before March 2025, the end of the current financial year. They didn't give any details about the announcement, including whether it would be the launch of the successor or the announcement of a launch of the successor. People have to wait and see. A lot of users will now hold off on buying the current Switch, as they know that the new model will come out sometime in 2025, said the founder of Catan Games Consultancy. Despite the scant detail over the Switch's release date, some of the successor's new features are already circulating in the gaming world's rumor mill. Spanish gaming news website Vandal reported last month that the successor will be larger but not big as rival console Steam Deck. The Switch's distinctive controllers, which can detach from the console to form a new control to play over the screen, will reportedly lock into the handset magnetically instead of sliding into rails. Okay. Vandal also adds manufacturers believe games for the current Switch will also be playable on the new one. And Nintendo has sold 141 million Switch machines worldwide, making it the third highest selling console ever. Yeah, it's been very, very popular. A great success for them. Hopefully the new one will do well for them as well. China hacked Ministry of Defense, Sky News learns. MPs in the UK were told of a massive data breach involving the Ministry of Defense and targeting service personnel. The Chinese state has hacked the Ministry of Defense, Sky News understands. They were told of a massive data breach involving the MOD targeting service personnel. The cyber attack was on a payroll system with current service personnel and some veterans. It is largely names and bank details that have been exposed. All salaries will be paid this month. China's foreign ministry said it firmly opposes and fights all forms of cyber attacks and rejects the use of this issue politically to smear other countries. So I guess they're denying it. Prehistoric DNA being dug up to see if it can help modern day crops cope with climate change. DNA samples taken from the Paleolithic period between 100,000 and 200,000 years ago, when the planet was also warming, may offer clues to scientists trying to help today's crops adapt to the environmental challenges caused by higher temperatures once again. Prehistoric plant DNA is being dug up from deep below the Arctic to see if it can help modern-day crops to cope with the effects of climate change. It just shows, isn't it, that the climate is always changing, you know. Millions of years before people even existed on the planet, the climate was changing, and we had ice ages and very hot periods with the dinosaurs and everything like that, and it goes up and down and up and down. Researchers from Heriot Watt University in Edinburgh are working with European scientists to analyse microbes. The university team was awarded £500,000 sterling by Horizon Europe, a European Union scientific research initiative, to spend 4 years examining ancient soil samples extracted from deep below the Arctic under a project named Tolerate. Dr. Ross Alexander, a plant molecular biologist at Heriot Watt, said the aim is to find out whether the plants, soil and bacteria of the past can help our current crops survive in a rapidly changing planet. So hopefully they will be able to help out. Good news. So this is a very good news story. Amazon has announced plans to launch an Irish website in 2025. So this has been a bugbear of many Irish people for many years who wanted to buy stuff from Amazon, for example. And so, like, some family members of mine were using the UK site, but they were getting caught with exchange rates and getting caught with custom charges and things like that. And you look at a price for something, and it can, like, because you're in the UK site, you can say, oh, free shipping available. Then you click on it, and it's like €20 to ship it or something. And you're like, oh, I thought it was free shipping. Oh, it's only in the UK. And then you either pay it or like me, you go to the German site. At least you get a kind of clearer idea of the price and shipping and things like that. It seems to give a clearer, I prefer the German version of Amazon to order here than the UK version. And shipping is still reasonably okay. But finally, after a long time, I think I tweeted Amazon like 8 years ago, they need to have an Irish website. But finally, they have an Irish website because they have warehouses here and everything. So they're launching a website in 2025, amazon.ie. So that's fantastic news for a lot of people because, you know, if you look at people in America, you know, you see on TV shows and stuff like that. It's like a way of life. You know, you need something, you can order it, like ordering it from your local shop, and you could have it the same day. You often have the option to have it the same day or have it the next morning. And it's very handy to have things. Some people even get groceries or get things that, like unusual batteries or something like that. I had, like, my dad had an old flashlight, and none of the shops sold this square battery, but it was not the normal that are kind of hard enough to get as well, the big square batteries. It was similar to that, but like a wider one. It was an old flashlight he had, and the battery just died. And found it online because it's not the kind of thing you'd get. Same with I had an old a vintage camera, and it had unusual batteries in it as well, and I was able to get them on Amazon, things like that. But you know, you'd have to wait a week or two, but now you can just get them straight away. So very, very handy for things like that now. So They've announced it will launch a new dedicated website in Ireland, Amazon.ie, in 2025. Currently, most Irish customers use Amazon sites based in the UK or other European countries. The company said the Irish site will mean that users will be able to avoid additional customs charges and currency conversion fees. Yes, that was a big bugbear of mine. That's why I used the German one. It will also lead to faster delivery and returns for many items. In 2022, Amazon opened a new warehouse and distribution center in Dublin, which employs 500 people. So that's why I didn't get it. I was like, they're opening warehouses here, but you can't. They don't have a website. It was very, very strange. At the time, the company said the facility would be a stepping stone to the launch of an Ireland-specific website in the future. Amazon said the new site will offer more products from Irish businesses, which is good also. Very, very good. The company currently employs around 6,500 people in Cork, Dublin and Drogheda. Amazon said the new website will lead to the creation of some additional jobs, with details to be announced in the coming months. It's great news for Irish customers, said Dara Kelly, Ireland General Manager for Customer Fulfillment at Amazon. Launching in 2025, Amazon.ie will lead to continued improvements of our customer experience. It will see low prices in euros, as well as removing additional customs charges that we see currently. Issues related to workers' rights, union recognition and staff surveillance have led to strikes and protests at Amazon facilities in the UK, US and parts of Europe. We respect the rights of employees to join a union or not to join a union, Mr. Kelly said. So the article continues to kind of go down into... I can only speak to what we run here, and it's not something that we engage with in our run Amazon operations, Mr. Kelly said. So they were asking him about that kind of stuff. But in general, anyway, for buyers, I know, you know, they have their issues, and hopefully they get worked out and the workers get treated properly. But it is good news. Minister for Trade, Enterprise and Employment, Peter Burke, said he was pleased to see Amazon continuing to grow its presence in Ireland. The launch of the Irish store will enhance customer experience in Ireland and provide a significant platform for Irish small and medium enterprises to expand their online presence and to grow their business. That's good. That's very important, because Amazon in the past has been accused of kind of crushing small businesses and things like that. But if they can be a host for small businesses, that's good. They can actually grow and kind of, it can actually help them. So that's a good thing, and it's very important. The IDA Ireland CEO Michael Lohan says the launch of Amazon.ie is a show that the company's commitment to its Irish operations. It reinforces the company's existing and strong Irish presence and will enhance the benefits already delivered to Ireland through the broad base of strategic activities it carries out here. So you could see a lot more of the Amazon vans and things driving around now as well, I bet, when it happens. So entries open early for the 2025 BT Young Scientists and Technology Exhibition. Online entries will be open from today for the 2025 BT Young Scientists and Technology Exhibition, which takes place in Dublin next January. I had an email received today looking for encouraging Limerick school kids and things like that to get their entries ready. They're opening them early, and they want kids from Limerick to prepare their entries for the Young Scientists Exhibition. So if there's any secondary school students aged 12 to 19, they're asked and encouraged to start thinking of new projects. They're opening 3 months earlier than usual, organizers saying it will allow time for students to research and develop their ideas over the summer months. So that's a great idea, you know, because it's some of them are very advanced, and they actually lead to actual scientific research and scientific progress so over the years. So it's good that they're given a good bit of time and time to research, time to develop. The 2025 exhibition will showcase entries from students in 5 categories: technology, social and behavioural science, biological and ecological science, chemical, physical, mathematical science, and health and well-being. 250 prizes across a total prize fund of €50,000 will be awarded across all 5 categories and all age groups, including the overall BT Young Scientists and Technologists of the Year award worth €7,500. The winner or winners will also go on to represent Ireland at the European Union Contest for Young Scientists in 2025. The upcoming exhibition will mark BT Ireland's 25th year as lead sponsor of the Young Scientists and Technology Exhibition. It has been a great privilege to have been custodians and organisers of the Young Scientists and Technology Exhibition for the last 25 years, said Shea Walsh, Managing Director of BT Ireland. Over that time, the exhibition has produced amazing STEM talent and exported some of the world's leading scientists and technologists. Yeah, that's another thing too, actually, is that they give kids the incentive and the experience and encouragement to get into STEM and get into scientific research and everything. So it's fantastic. Even kids that don't win might have planted the seed to grow the scientists of tomorrow to help our world and everything like that. So the project submissions will close at 5 p.m. on the 27th of September. So if you want to be the next Boyan Slat or somebody like that, he's the guy that he started the ocean cleanup, these kind of ships that have dredging and that can drive through garbage and gather them all up and recycle them and everything. And he has ships and nets and things all over the world. And he's helping to, one of his goals was to get rid of that massive garbage patch. Is it between Hawaii and America that's the size of Texas or something like that? It's absolutely massive. And I think he's halfway through it or something like that. But he's going to a lot of kind of third world countries and things like that that have a lot of lot of dumping and garbage, and helping to clean up their inland waterways and coastal areas. So he's still very young, started off very young, and instead of just kind of instead of protesting or something like that, which is fine, but he decided to be more proactive and create an industry that genuinely helps the environment and helps to protect the environment and clean up waterways and help sea life and everything like that. So absolutely amazing. There's a lot of projects going on that people don't know about, you know, very, very positive, working on carbon capture and nuclear fusion energy and graphene battery technology and things like that. You know, if all these sciences are developed, we could have a much more kind of powerful, but also much more energy efficient future, and a lot cleaner, be able to live a lot cleaner, less waste and everything like that. So yeah, there's a lot of negativity in social media and news and everything nowadays, but there is a good possibility for a good future as well. And we should hope for the best as much as we can, and optimism is very important. Explio launches a €1 million global AI Centre of Excellence in Ireland. Explio, an engineering, technology and consulting service provider, has announced the investment of €1 million in new global AI Centre of Excellence. The hub will help businesses adopt artificial intelligence and emerging technologies. The Centre of Excellence will have its central hubs in Explio's Dublin and Belfast HQs, and will serve companies worldwide, focusing on areas including generative AI, fraud detection, predictive analysis and quality assurance, as well as promoting ethical AI practices both internally and externally. It will involve over 380 experts, offering training programs, mentorship opportunities and initiatives aimed at developing the next generation of AI leaders. The time to embrace AI is here, but there is currently a blank space in the AI landscape because businesses simply don't know where to start, said Rebecca Keenan, Global Head of Artificial Intelligence Automation, Explio. The launch of our AI Care Centre of Excellence hopes to fill in the gap and give organisations a jumping start-off point for their AI journeys. So that's true, actually. You know, you hear, if you have a small shop or you have a small business and you're selling a few bits and pieces online, and you, what can I do with AI? You know, as far as I know, AI is like getting Johnny Cash to sing a pop song, or getting it to make funny images or something like that. What can I use it for my business? So it's good that there's actually a center of excellence to say, okay, I've a small shop selling musical instruments, and I'm selling online, but I want to increase my online presence and I want to get out there on social media or whatever to try to up my sales. What can AI do for me, and what's the practical application? So that's very good. It's good that it's doing that. I actually have another story. I've actually almost forgot to look it up. So I was reading about this yesterday and I had to look it up because it's a very interesting story. There was some funny sides to it as well. So Dublin and New York City have been linked up in a real-time visual bridge as part of a groundbreaking art project. The portal art installation features an on-street sculpture with a 24/7 live stream of both Dublin and New York City in either city. The two portals form part of a public art project aimed to unite citizens via technology on either side of the Atlantic Ocean. The sculpture allows for real-time interaction between Dubliners, New York, and New Yorkers and visitors to both cities. Dublin's portal faces onto O'Connell Street, capturing both the GPO and the spire. The New York City portal is located on Flatiron South Public Plaza on Broadway, Fifth Avenue, and the 23rd Street, one of the Big Apple's most dynamic intersections. I was there before, actually. That Flatiron building is really cool. I got a really nice picture of there's a very fancy clock a street light, but it's a clock, you know, that one of the poles. And so I got the clock right in line with the Flatiron building years and years ago when I was in New York. The sculpture has been unveiled this afternoon by Lord Mayor of Dublin, Dahi de Rosta, and included a special performance by the Liberty's Majorettes in a nod to the New York connection. One of my key aims as Lord Mayor is to make the city more inclusive, said Mr. de Rosta. I would encourage Dubliners and visitors to the city to come and interact with the sculpture. I saw the guards dragging some people away from it. So there were some people were messing with it already. And extend an Irish welcome and kindness to cities all over the world. This project is an example of the many exciting things to expect in Dublin during 2024 as part of our EU Capital of Smart Tourism designation. So it's just a big round circle, like I see a person standing beside it. It's about a quarter of their height, so it could be like 15 feet, something like that high, and the outside say it's about 6 foot or 7 foot screen, circular screen, and it just shows New York on the other side. So shows obviously O'Connell Street in Dublin from the other side. It's really cool. It's a great idea. I suppose they have a little camera, and the camera captures the other end of it, so you can see the other side and they can see your side. The portal is set to become a fixture of Dublin's streetscape throughout the summer and runs until the autumn. In the coming months, the public can expect scheduled programming, including cultural performances at each city's portal that will be enjoyed by people in the other city via the live stream. Programming will kick off in mid-May via the visual program to celebrate New York Design Week. From July, the Dublin portal will also connect to other global destinations in Poland, Brazil and Lithuania. Lithuanian artist Benediktas Gilias, the founder of the portal, said portals are an invitation to meet people above borders and differences and to experience our world as it really is, united and one. So that's pretty cool. The Dublin, I don't know if I'll get a chance to see it before it's gone, but it would be nice. Actually, it would be nice if they made it a permanent fixture. It would be very cool. And a good thing for, you know, something to, it's good to have, like with the Las Vegas, thousands, if not millions of people have been coming and going to Las Vegas just to see that new sphere that they built where they have concerts and everything like that. But, it, you know, that would be something that you know, people from New York, oh, let's go over to Ireland to see the portal and we can see the other side of it. So it would be maybe a good selling point for tourism and things like that. Dell's Irish boss appointed general manager of Microsoft in Ireland. Microsoft Ireland has appointed Catherine Doyle as its new general manager. Ms. Doyle has previously been the managing director of Ireland of Dell Technologies, Before that, over two decades, she held a variety of senior positions in that company, including managing director of the EMEA software sales division. Ms. Doyle will take up her new position on the 1st of July. She replaces Anne Sheehan, who has moved on to a European role within the company. I am excited to join Microsoft during this pivotal moment as we embrace the transformative power of AI to help organizations across Ireland achieve new levels of efficiency and effectiveness, she said. I actually worked for Dell years ago. It was my first job. I actually shook hands with Michael Dell one day. He was going around touring the factory and meeting everybody on the floor, and I didn't even realize. I turned around and there was a gang of people behind me, and how are you today? And just shook my hand and said, who's that? Oh, Michael Dell. Oh, okay. I knew he was somebody because there was about 50 people with him walking around touring the floor. So luckily I was working away, working hard, as I always do. Up to 3,000 new jobs could be created with a massive expansion at an innovation centre in County Kildare. €2.4 billion is being pumped into the 184-acre site between Leakslip and Selbridge. Kildare Innovation Campus will also be carbon neutral, generating its own power from renewable sources. KIC Chief Executive Alan Shine says the potential for jobs growth is huge. Let's see what he had to say.
Phase one of the announcement is a $500 million investment in the campus, and that's going to result in 1,000 jobs by the end of next year. We have three large blue chip multinational companies coming on site later this year. The scale up companies will be part of the hub at KIC, so that's a dedicated space for foreign direct investment and scale up companies. So we have 10,000 square foot for that facility, and the rest of the jobs will be announced later on this year.
That's very good news and positive once again. It's nice that we have a positive kind of show today for a change. Sometimes it can be very negative in the news and stories like that, but it's good. The education minister thinks lowering the voting age to 16 is a discussion worth having. The comments came as the minister was launching a free primary school book scheme. Groups like the National Youth Council have long campaigned for the move to be implemented. Social activist Callum Hederman agrees with Norma Foley.
It's a discussion worth having, completely. I think it's welcome news. And it's not only been a discussion worth having today or for the last week, it's been there for quite some time. You know, we had recommendations from the Convention on the Constitution back 2012, 2013, 2014 that recommended this, and successive governments haven't implemented it.
I don't know. I kind of would disagree. I wouldn't be in favour now. I think 18 is even... I'd go up to 21. I don't know. Just people, a lot of kids, especially nowadays as well, there's so much social media influence pushing kids in different directions before they kind of realise, or before they settle down and kind of mature a bit. We're still learning when we're young, and people can be influenced kind of artificially by social media and things like that before they learn to kind of filter things a lot better. And I don't know, would it be a good idea? It's like if some party needed a few points here or there, get some social media kind of a campaign going, and whether they were good or bad, they could influence it by, you know, 5 or 10% either way on the under 18s if they were allowed to vote. So might be better off to leave it as is. I suppose there was a reason if it was 18 was the age it was come to in the first place. But everybody's entitled to their opinion. So insulting words like lummox, ninny and plonker are in danger of being phased out as younger generations are unfamiliar with them. 62% of Gen Z are unfamiliar with the term lummox, which means a stupid or awkward person. More than half haven't heard ninny, and around a quarter haven't heard scallywag or nitwit or numpty. I have heard all of them. Not recently, though. Maybe half of them recently. But yeah, so we need to bring back the old insults, which were a lot kind of milder than some of the newer, more vulgar ones. The best student-run businesses in the country will be celebrated today. A student enterprise program national final takes place in Mullingar, with Hurl Makers, AI study guides and sustainable fuels among the businesses competing. More than 28,000 students take part in the program each year. John McGee is the national chair of the network of local enterprises which runs the competition.
The program effectively is helping young people to develop their enterprise skills and to think of entrepreneurialism as a potential career option. It enhances creativity for young people, it improves communication skills, and it helps develop business skills in young people. And crucially, it gives real-world learning opportunities.
Yeah, that's what it's all about, real-world learning and encouraging young people to grow and mature, and then when they're ready, they can vote. that's very good. And as always, the youth are the future, and I suppose in a way, technology is also the future, and it's growing all the time. So that's our show for today. As always, you can call 069-66-200, or you can text or WhatsApp 087-166-9800, or you can email patrick102fm@gmail.com. That's been Tech Thursday. Hope you've enjoyed it. I'll talk to you again next week. Bye-bye.
You're listening to Tech Thursday on West Limerick 102 FM.